The title of my sermon this morning is Cozy Christian or Slave. Imagine God watching a little colony of ants. How many of you had an ant farm when you were younger? That's weird because yesterday when I did this in the jail, I thought nobody's going to answer that they had an ant farm because it's all girls. And three of them said they had an ant farm when they were kids. And then last night I asked the same question and I thought nobody's going to have an ant farm. And a couple people had had an ant farm. So now none of you have had an ant farm. Well, an ant farm was this little plastic thing and it had ants in it and you could watch them build their colonies and do their thing. So, but imagine God is looking at this little colony of ants and these ants are scurrying all around. One of them is carrying a crumb that's way too heavy for him, and so he's just heavy, heavy burdened, you know, walking along slowly, as slowly as he had to carry this heavy burden. And others are walking along, not knowing where they're going. Another one is running only because the person in front of him, the ant in front of him, started running. So he started running. He doesn't know why he's running. He's just running because somebody else is running. And we see this in kind of a mob mentality when people get excited about something in a store, something's free, and then all of a sudden everybody's running to it. It's free, it's free, it's free. They don't even know what they're running to. They don't know what's free. If only a few of those ants had looked up and seen their creator, who was smiling and shaking his head at them, they would have suddenly known that he would meet all of their needs. And the running of the race was much less important than serving their God. And we're very much like that colony of ants. Each of us has our own plans, now especially with New Year's resolutions. But are our plans subordinated to God? 35% right now of the United States claims to be a born-again Christian. And of those people, many have not changed. See, being born again requires change. And change is sometimes painful. Even a changed reading or changing the sermon hymn to the end of the sermon. Evidence of change is our obedience in all of God's precepts. We can't say, yeah, I'm a believer. I believe in Jesus. I'm a born-again believer. Because I want to go to heaven. That is very cozy. But I don't want his lordship and his ruling in my life because that's really uncomfortable. That's more like slavery. That's what Paul is trying to explain today. Romans is like a primer for life. As we've heard in prior weeks, the message of Romans is that we're saved by grace. And there's a great acronym for grace, God's riches at Christ's expense. Because it was through Christ that we received God's riches, right? Through our faith, but not of our works. We can't earn salvation. We don't deserve salvation. But God has given us this wonderful free gift in Jesus Christ. Our life is and was complicated. But Romans gets back to the basics of life and in the light of God's love as well. Paul wrote to the Romans primarily in this letter to introduce himself. He hadn't been to Rome yet, and he wanted to introduce himself to the Roman Christians. And so he wrote this letter, and he used an analogy that he knew that the Romans could understand because he had never met these people. And so he used that analogy of slavery. And the reason they could understand it is because 25% of the Roman population were slaves. How you became a slave in those days is if the Romans went out and conquered your country or your whatever, your tribe, then the captured soldiers became slaves. If you were in debt and you couldn't pay your debt, you became a slave. And so there were a lot of slaves, 25%. Of the population were slaves. So they fully understood intimately what the word slave meant. How many people remember Bob Dylan? who Bob Dylan was. Thank you. As I get older and older, I'm finding there's things that I know that people can't identify with. So I'm glad to hear that some of you know who Bob Dylan is. Bob Dylan sang a song and he said, you have to serve somebody. And it's true, we each serve somebody or something or some activity. So you might say slavery is inevitable because we do serve. We all serve. As Phillips put it, we belong to the power that we choose to obey. If you say I'm neutral, I'm going to laugh at you, and here's why. Neutrality only means a refusal to surrender to God. It's God alone that we surrender to. If you can't say no to sugar, you're a slave to sugar. If you can't say no to TV, you're a slave to TV. It controls you. If you can't turn your phone off, you're a slave to your telephone. You might be a slave to your children or your work or your business. We're a slave to something. Our previous sins have only brought shame on us. Satan deceived us and he enslaved us. And only through Jesus Christ are we released from that slavery. We're released from service to sin, but now we step into service of righteousness. Otherwise, we're a walking contradiction. Alistair Begg is one of my favorite pastors, as some of you know, outside of these walls, of course. And one of the things that he said is, to claim Christianity but then lead our lives in our old ways is morally incongruous, which means incompatible, or I'd say even bizarre. He said, when a believer sins, only one of two things are going to happen. The first is, we get on our knees and we repent, and the cloud of sin clears. The second is, we begin imperceptibly at first to shut out God's truth, little pieces at a time, to shut out God's demand for holiness in our lives, to shut out the blessing of fellowship with other believers, and to shut out the realities of biblical truth. If you're sitting in this congregation and willingly choose to obey sin, Alistair said, get out of it now. Not when your circumstances change. Again, we choose to obey whatever we are going to belong to. Our choice is shown in our actions. Now, a couple things about sin. Sin has sex appeal. It taunts us. And engaging in it is going to hurt my union with Jesus Christ. It ultimately leads to death. We cannot serve sin and obedience at the same time. At the end of the reading today was a part that should really make us think. There's a couple words that are used that I'd like to point out. He said, sin pays us a wage. And what is the wage? Death. Sin pays us a wage of death. Obedience, though, does not pay us. Obedience is gifts us with righteousness and ultimately with eternal life. There's a difference in being paid and being gifted. I wish JD was here this morning because I'm going to use a surfer analogy. Surfers used to call things righteous. Okay, a righteous wave is when the sandbars are exactly correct and the tide is exactly correct and the height and the wind and everything is exactly correct. It is righteous, okay? That means over-the-top good, okay? Over-the-top. When we choose to obey God in our lives and follow Him in faith, it is over-the-top good. And it's rich and it's rewarding. But grace isn't a free license to sin. It was given to lead to righteousness. So we've been set free from sin and committed to a new slavery. In Greek, I'm going to mess this up, I know. Perry and Rick, sorry. In Greek, the term for committed is paradidomi, okay? It means to be handed over, to hand over. God is handing us over to a new power, and then he even places that power within us. How cool is that? When we're under the law, we had limited resources to perform and to obey the law. But being under grace, we now have unlimited resources because we have the God of the universe standing behind us and pushing us forward. We've received the Holy Spirit to overthrow the reign of sin in our lives and in our experience. A few of you might have heard about our grandsons, Quentin and Richie. Richie is 2 years old, and he entered our life through birth a couple years ago, and he's one of the highlights of our life. Quentin, Hugh, as we call him, entered our life at age 7 last year through marriage. Both of them are crazy little critters, and they're a delight for us. They bring amazement and joy and humor into our life every day of the year. So it is with the gift of righteousness. Grown through the Holy Spirit, we enter a life of amazement and joy and humor and wonder every single day of the year. Had those poor little ants just looked up at their Creator, they would have made him smile with joy. And we can do no less. Can you imagine when you came to faith in Jesus Christ and you completely surrendered your life? Can you imagine how God smiled? The joy that you brought to him. But to stay with our old life would be wrong and make us miserable. To stay with our new life requires some doing on our part. It requires intentionality. We have to be intentional every single day. We have to recommit to Jesus Christ every single morning, because boy, can Satan grab on when we don't. There's no halfway. Do you intentionally think about your walk with God? Or has one tiny sin led to another and another and another? Have some things taken over where you start to feel out of control? Does lethargy, depression, laziness, habits, hurts, hang-ups, addictions control your day? Or are you greatly aware of God calling you into greater communion with him? Are you a cozy Christian? One who is enjoying a double life because you can't fully commit to God's will? Or are you ready to be a slave to Jesus Christ and see what new things he'll bring in the new year? Remember, Paul is not addressing sinners in this reading. He's addressing Christians in Rome. I have a favorite place to go to. It's called Canaan in the Desert. It's at 40th Street and Shea. If you've never been there, I would invite you to drop in. It's a wonderful place that's run by Lutheran nuns, and they have the Stations of the Cross carved there in the desert. And it's a wonderful place of solace. And I received their devotion every morning. And one of them in this last week was Psalm 96:8, and it said, "Ascribe to the Lord the glory due his name. Bring an offering." And here's what the Sisters of Canaan had to say about it. God has a right to our sacrifice. For out of the depths of his love, he sacrificed his very dearest, his very best, in his son, his own son. So don't hold back any sacrifice from him. The more you love him, the more you rejoice in making sacrifices for him. In verse 19 today, Paul says, "Present yourselves," meaning to put ourselves at God's disposal. Can you imagine what he's going to do with you? In the past year or so, I studied trauma counseling, and I need to learn a lot more about it, but I enjoyed what I did learn, and it's been very, very helpful for the girls in the jail especially. And in the last year, God brought other new things into my life, and he also took away some things from my life. And that's always bittersweet when he removes things from our life. And I went through a time of a little bit of depression and being feeling kind of down and feeling that sense of loss. And then I realized, 2017 is a new year. What great things is he going to do with me this year? What great things is he going to do with you this year? He's going to bring new and exciting things into our life, and he's asking us to stretch forward and accept the challenges that he gives us, because he continues to give us new and exciting things. That's what makes Christianity so fun. He's going to continue to challenge us. There's always going to be new things. So Paul says, present yourselves as slaves to righteousness, resulting in sanctification. Well, that's a really big word, but it means to be set apart for Christ. What would the church be like if every single member made a commitment to grow in purity and be set apart for Christ? Christ was a slave. He was a slave to his Father's will. We can be transformed into Christ's likeness. Can we go on sinning? If we truly know God, let's get excited and live to show it. I found another example that I couldn't pass up. Kind of a weird example, but I liked it. How many of you know what Alpo is? Please say yes. Okay. Alpo is dog food, okay? This example is by Keith Krell, a minister that preached on this text. He said, sin for a believer is no better than chocolate-covered Alpo. It may bring some momentary pleasure, but the aftertaste will kill you. To go for Alpo when the choicest steak is available is foolishness, and sin is foolishness and insanity. If you thought sin was fun, try holiness. Sin satisfies only a moment. Holiness satisfies forever. Slavery to God lets us fulfill the destiny that we were created for. The other point on sin is that sin is very, very subtle. I have a friend that is a prayer partner of mine, and she's tall and thin, and she's always watching her diet. Drives me crazy. But she had an experience in the last few weeks. She went away on vacation for a couple weeks to Hawaii, and she said she ate too much while she was there. So when she came home, she made a commitment to God that she would eat only fruit for 2 days, so a 2-day fast from everything except fruit, to kind of cleanse her body and get her back regulated and following her very strict diet. Now, the reason she follows a very strict diet is because she's an overeater. And at one time, she was very heavy. And so it's a very important commitment to her. And I kind of laugh sometimes because I outweigh her by probably 50 pounds. But on the first day of her diet, you know, she got through and did fine, and she wasn't hungry. She said she felt very satisfied. On the second day, she was driving home from work, and she was going past a grocery store, and she thought, I'll pull in and get some soup. Some of that ready-made soup at the grocery store that's so good. But I'll pull in and get some soup. And then she realized the voice that was justifying the soup, that soup wasn't bad for you, was not her voice. It was Satan, because he's subtle. He does these little things like this. When I heard about this, I have to admit, I'm like, sorry, soup isn't bad for you. Okay. But this wasn't about the soup, was it? It was about the commitment that she had made, the commitment, the vow that she had made with Jesus Christ. And it was a 4-hour commitment. And 48 hours weren't over. It wasn't about the soup. The issue was the voice of Satan attacking where he could go enlighten her commitment to Jesus Christ. It's the voice that tempts us during a fast. Disobedience for a Christian comes from a very subtle and a very conniving Satan. Shall we sin misusing the grace of God, or shall we who died to sin? Well, you know the rest. How can we keep on sinning a minute longer? Can we recognize sin in our own personal lives? Even the small little subtle sins that start to creep in, whether it be our language or our thoughts or our empathy for others or our loving behavior in our families and our friends or our priority to fellowship on Sunday, Satan is going to place obstacles in our way, obstacles to obedience, and he will continue to place them. This isn't going to end as long as we're on this earth. But here's something we need to remember. Satan does not have authority over us. We serve a new master, and the old one has lost his authority over us. The only way he has any authority is when we hand it to him, when we give it back. And I'll close with another cute analogy, at least that I thought. A kite is only free to fly as long as it's a slave to the string. Cut the string and the kite is useless, and its freedom to fly has been banished. Only slavery to God gives us full freedom to fulfill his plan to us. So don't quit fighting. Keep fighting sin and growing in spiritual maturity. This is not about our cozy feelings. How often do we hear people say they feel this way and they feel that way? And in counseling, we encourage people to talk about their feelings. But this isn't about our feelings. This is about our commitment to Jesus Christ. It's about getting a little uncomfortable sometimes. It's about serving as a slave to righteousness. However difficult that is, and sometimes it's very difficult. So let's get out of ourselves a little bit in 2017 and make a commitment to follow our Savior. God has the very brightest future for us. And his plan is better than any plan that we can orchestrate ourselves, as most of us know. Amen? I saved this song for the end of the sermon because it's about our commitment to Christ. And this is a song we sing in the jail a lot, and then the first Sunday in July, there's some girls who have committed to come here and sing this song with us, and we'll be singing it again on the first Sunday in July. But this is a story of Christ, and more importantly, the story of his resurrection. Okay? So we're going to sing it now.
In walking the ways God did, receive your friendship with humility, gratitude. We could not stand without it.
Please sing out on this song.
Satisfied for every sin.
top of this next verse, we always applaud in the jail when we sing that, because it's about Jesus rising from death, overcoming Satan. This is the commitment that we make. Please rise.